1 Thessalonians.
And we're going to look at chapter 1. I'll wait till everybody finds it. This morning, we're going to look at several passages of Scripture. How many of your Bibles with you? If you can, bring a highlighter, pen, or whatever, because after this study this morning, I'm going to challenge you to take home whatever I give you and study it further, because what I'm about to give you is vital to your Christian life, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. To the church of the Thessalonians, in the God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Verse 6. And you became followers of us and of our Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believed. Now look at verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out. Your faith towards God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and know how you turned to God from idols, serving the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now my text is found in verse 3 and verse 9. He says here, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, because you turned to God from idols to serve the living God. Amen. Father, this morning I ask that you would help us to understand what your word is saying to us, that we who are Christians here this morning know that our time here on earth is short. We know, Lord, that you are about to return and you're about to split the eastern sky and you're about to take us home. But, Lord, until then, help us to be found faithful in doing the works you called us to. Now say this prayer with me this morning, people. Dear Jesus, speak to my heart this morning. Open my eyes to see and open my ears to hear. And dear Jesus, change my heart today. Amen. Tomorrow is Labor Day. And I'll be honest with you, up until just a few years ago, I didn't know a whole lot about Labor Day other than the fact that Labor Day was kind of special to me for several reasons. Number one, it's the beginning of college football season. Amen. And I always look forward to that. Secondly, it means I get a three-day weekend, okay? Most people get that unless you work a job where they make you work on Labor Day. But the fact is, that's all I cared about, three-day weekend and college football. Amen. But actually, Labor Day was not started to kick off college football or give us a three-day weekend. If you know anything about Labor Day, it was actually started back in the 1800s after the Pullman strike in New York. And it was done to honor the men and women of this country who labored hard and were industrious to build this country, okay? That's why they call it Labor Day. For those who have labored in America and made this country in what it is today. Now, I'm not going to speak on Labor Day, okay? If you want to know about Labor Day, watch the History Channel this afternoon. It'll be on there, okay? But I don't want to talk about Labor Day. I want to talk about laboring daily for the Lord. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about your service and my service for Jesus. Amen. Now, I want to ask you a few questions this morning as before I get into the Word. Let me ask, how many of you are saved? How many of you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, how many have been saved for a few years? Wow, praise God. Amen. Now, I want to ask you another question. This is a dead serious question this morning. What have you done for Jesus since then? Since the moment you have come to know Christ as your Savior, what have you done for Him? What are you doing for Him right now? Let me ask you this. Why are you here this morning? Think about that. Now, you might say, I'm here because it's Sunday. It's go to church on Sunday. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're here. Praise God. You know, I like to see more people in church on Sunday morning instead of staying home because, you know, they just had a rough Saturday and decide I'm just going to stay home because I had a bad Saturday, you know. But the point is, folks, God did not save us. Now, I want to say this morning because you need to understand this, and I'm saying it with love, but I don't want anybody to take this wrong. God did not save you. He did not save me for us to sit in these pews. Amen? Amen. Okay? You know, people will say to me, yeah, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, He died because He loves me, and He saved me from my sins so I can spend eternity with Him. Yes, that's true. But my question for you, those of you who raised your hand, you're saved. I hope everybody here is then why is it that He left you after you got saved? Why does He left you here on this earth? You think about that. If all He wanted to do was get you to heaven to be with Him, the moment you said yes to Jesus, why didn't He just take you home? Think about that this morning. Why did He leave me? Why did He leave you here in this very ugly, dark world? And it's getting uglier and darker by the moment. How many know I'm talking about? This world is not a good place. And it's going to get worse. You come in Wednesday night Bible study, I'll share some things with you if you don't know about it, but the church in America will be persecuted. And we're living in a time it's very dangerous. Paul talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, for in the last days perilous times shall come. We're living right smack in the middle. So why did Jesus leave you and I here to face those problems? He loves me. He loves you. So why am I still here? Why are you still here? Well, I'll tell you why. I'll give you the answer right now. Because He's got a plan for you. Amen. He's got a plan for you. He's got a job for you. You might be saying, well, Pastor, I don't know what my job is. I'll tell you what your job is. To serve Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You are to serve Jesus. Praise God. Now, what capacity you are to serve Him in is up to the talents that God gave you. Now, God's given me the talent of teaching and preaching and to ministrate, and I'm called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be a teacher. By the way, but if God's called you to teach, you need to teach the Word. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If God's called you and you have a burden for children, our children need Bible teachers. Amen. We need people to teach these young kids the Bible. If God's called you to do that, then do it. If God's given you the gift of working and with your hands and fixing things, then get involved in doing that in the church. Amen? By the way, I will say this morning, folks. This is a prime place to be if you want to serve the Lord because we have so many needs here. Amen? Let me tell you, there are churches out there you walk in. You know, Teresa and I, when we first moved to Ocala, we liked going to Living Waters. Brother Watson, good man of God, great church. But I just always, when I sat there, I kind of felt like one of many numbers there in that church. You know, and they had great music. I mean, boy, they have good worship there. But if you want to minister for the Lord and have a chance to do something, Abundant Life is the place to be because we have needs here. And you know what? They need to be filled. Amen. And I say, people, come join us because we can put you to work right away. Amen. You don't have to get in line and say, you're number 150 on the teaching list. When we get through the other 149, you'll be next. Amen. See, that's what I'm saying. Praise God. And you might be saying here this morning, well, you know, Pastor, you know, I really like to do some things for the Lord, but, you know, and get involved in church, but, you know, I just don't have time. No, people, I don't buy that one bit. Because you know what? I have found it's true. You always make time for things you want to make time for. How many know what I'm talking about? Whatever you love the most, you will make time for. There are men who love to golf, and believe me, they will find a way to get out there on the golf course. Okay? No matter how busy they are, they will find a way to get out there on the golf course. There are guys I know that love to bowl. They will find a way to get to the bowling alley, even if it's late at night. How do you know what I'm talking about? You see, and you know, if you love football, you will find a way to get to a football game. Yesterday morning, as I was coming out to, we were going to paint the modular, and I stopped at the pilot station, and here were all the Gator fans, okay, and they're dressed in their blue and orange, and you know, I thought, man, you know, these guys are getting ready to watch the game on TV, and I said to one of the guys, "Are you going to watch the game?" He said, "No, we're going to the game." I thought, Gainesville's that way. Why are they doing down here? He said, "We're coming up from Fort Lauderdale." So we've been driving since 5 o'clock this morning. You know, I thought to myself, wow, isn't that something? People will get up at 5 o'clock to drive to a game that starts at 1 o'clock, but people can't even drive 10 miles to go to church. You know, there's something wrong here, folks. There's nothing wrong with watching football or being a fan, believe me, because I'm a big football fan. But listen, we got to understand whatever we put first will always get our best commitment. The problem is not that we can't be committed. It's what do we want to be committed to? Amen? Now, I'm going to talk about Christian service this morning for a few minutes. The example of Christian service is found in Philippians. I want you to turn there this morning. And this is for everybody. It's not for just me as a pastor. It's not for the few of the people here that are elders or go to. This is for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "This is for you." I'm talking about you. God is talking to you this morning. And I'm telling you, get in the Word right here. Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul writes, and I'm going to begin with verse 3. Philippians 2, 3. He says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or deceit." Now he says very clear, don't do anything for yourself. Don't always make, whenever you do something out of service, don't do it because it benefits you. You know the problem, and I'm going to say this morning, the problem with too many Christians, it's always this. What's in it for me? I mean, what I'm talking about. It's what is in it for me? If I do this in church, or I do this as a way of serving the Lord, what's in it for me? Am I going to get anything out of teaching a bunch of five-year-olds? Am I going to get anything out of coming out and putting paint on the walls or fixing the doors or mowing the lawn out there? Am I going to get anything out of just being a person that just greets people at the door? What am I going to get out of it? What good is it? Is it something that's going to make me feel good, or am I doing this because, you know, I have to do it? Folks, first of all, that's the problem. We've got to get our mind thinking right. Okay, look what he says. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness in mind." The word lowliness means humility. Humble yourself, lowliness in mind. "Let each esteem others better than himself." You know what that means? I am to look at you as being better than me or more important than myself. If I'm going to be a servant of God, if I'm going to have true Christian service, I've got to look at you as being, you're more important than me. Okay? I can't be looking at this position as being a pastor as, what am I going to get here? What kind of good stuff am I going to get? I've got to look at, what can I do for you? And every sermon, every message that God gives me, I've got to present it in a way that I'm serving the Lord. Amen. When I preach the Word of God, I'm preaching for the Lord. And he says here, he says, "Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Now, if that was all he said, we might say, well, yeah, it's true. But then he says, but this is what's got to be done, folks. Paul says, you got to be like Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to be like Jesus. He didn't say should be, could be, try to be. He says, you need to be like Jesus if you're going to be a true Christian servant. He says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you." Let this attitude be in your mind, "in which was also in Christ Jesus," verse 6, "who being in the form God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." Look what he says there. "Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." You know what this says? Jesus didn't just come down and just die on the cross. He came down to serve you and I. Amen. He was a servant. And you know, what did he get out of it, folks? Come on, think about it. Pain, rejection, agony, suffering, a lot of troubles from people. So why did he do it? Because he loved them with all their heart, all his heart. Think about that. Jesus loves you and I more than you will ever know. You see, people will tell me, you know, well, he had to come. No, he didn't. He did not. He could have said, forget it. They brought sin on themselves, let them die in their sins. But he didn't. And you know, he didn't just come down and die on the cross. Everywhere he went, he served people. He would teach as a service to the people. He would heal as a service to the people. He would love people and show them the way out of service to the people. He was always going to people and serving them, even to the point that he even washed his own disciples' feet, showing himself to be a servant to the people. Amen? This is what true Christian service is. It's a heart of love to people. Amen? Now, I say all that to say this. What is your purpose in this church or as a Christian? Well, it's very clear. Our purpose is to be a Christian servant. Amen? Now, go back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's look at three signs of Christian service this morning before we take communion. Number one, verse 3, chapter 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. That's the three things. That's a true sign of Christian service. Number one, it's a work of faith. Now, let me tell you what a work of faith is. Amen? I'm not talking about getting saved by works. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that it's not through works. Okay? We're not saved by works. Okay? It's not. Okay? We are saved by grace through faith, lest any man should boast. Amen. Good works do not save us, but I will say this. Those who are saved do good works. Amen. Are you hearing me? You know, I hear people say a lot of times, well, that person's a Christian. That person's a Christian. You know, if everybody was a Christian that I heard about, I would see a lot more good works. Amen. Not everybody that comes to the altar or prays the prayer of faith and says, I put Jesus, make Jesus my Savior, is truly saved. Okay? It's not about just believing in God or believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross. It's about one putting his or her faith totally in the Lord, and when that happens, good works always follow. Amen. If you are truly saved, you will desire to serve the Lord with all your heart. Amen. I want to show you something. Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Too many times we get in this mode, well, I believe this, I believe that. How many realize today, if you truly believe something, you will show it by your actions? Amen? Amen? If you truly believe something, it comes out in your actions. For instance, if you truly believe that Jesus can come any moment, you're not going to be living your life willfully in sin. You know what I mean? You're going to try to live for him the best you can because he may come any second. Look what James writes in James 2, verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Look what he says. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Do you see that? Verse 19. You believe that there is one God? You do well. But look what he says. Even the demons believe, and they tremble. So what's he saying there? Even Satan believes there's a God. Even Satan believes in Jesus. Even Satan knows that Jesus died on the cross, but he's not saved. But he says this in verse 20. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is what? Dead. Faith without works is dead. You know, faith there means what you believe. Just because you believe it, don't mean it so. Because faith without works is dead. But he says in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? We all know the story where, you know, he took his son up on the mountain and was going to offer him up. You know, Isaac, you know, Abraham believed God. He believed, trusted God that even if he killed Isaac, God would give him back his son. That's the kind of faith. See, it says, I know God's going to do it, so I'm going to be submissive and I'm going to be obedient to him. In verse 22, he says, do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. Amen. You see that? So what's this saying to you? Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. My point is, true Christian service can only come when we not only believe, but we put our faith in action by our works. Amen? Praise God. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Number 2, your labor of love. We're talking about Labor Day. Labor of love. What does labor of love mean? Anybody know what that means? Labor of love. That means having the love of God shed abroad in our hearts to the point that we do it out of love for Jesus. Amen. You see, like I said earlier, what you love the most will get your attention. What you love the most is what will give you the desire to do something. Like I said, people that spend all day on the golf course, they love to play golf. That's what's going to drive you, that love. Go with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. I want to show you something here. Romans 5, verse 5. Romans 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen? Okay, we have the Holy Spirit in us, right? When a person trusts Christ, the love of God is in them. And the love of God pours out from them, and that gives us the desire to serve the Lord. Amen? When I see people that say they're Christians that have no desire to study the Word of God, to serve the Lord, there's a problem there, amen? Because Christianity is about love, amen? This is the only religion, if you want to call it that, that has nothing to do with works, but it has everything to do with love. We don't do it because we have to, we do it because we love Him, amen? You know, Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 14, John's Gospel chapter 15, He said it many times, if you love me, you will what? You obey my teachings. If you love me, you obey my commandments. If you love me, he says, you will lay down your life for your brothers. You will give. So it's a love thing. Amen. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to show you something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 14. It's a labor of love, folks. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of God, or the love of Christ, compels us. The word compel means motivates us. Gives us that ambition to do something. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Now look at verse 15. He, Jesus, died for all, that those who live, those of us who are alive in Christ, should live no longer for themselves. He says we should live no longer for ourselves, but for Him who died for us. You see that? We no longer live for ourselves. We live for Jesus. Amen. The love of Christ compels us to serve the Lord Jesus. Now, you ask today, what does that mean to serve Jesus? Very simple. It's simply do the works that Jesus did. To love people. Now, you know why He calls it the labor of love? Anybody know the word labor means to work, right? If there's no work involved, it's not labor. If it doesn't take some pushing and take some, you know, doing things, and sometimes just simply not doing the things that we don't like to, or we'd like to do, and do things that we don't like to do, sometimes it's not work. In this case, the labor of love means I have to work at something I don't always want to do. And this labor of love means that we have to love those who don't love us. Come on. Is that work? You better believe it. How about loving people who speak evil of you? Huh? How about loving people who are sometimes downright nasty? Amen? It's a labor. See, Jesus did that. Jesus said, love your enemies. Love them that hate you. Do good to them that persecute you. You know what I mean? It's a labor of love. But see, this is where we get off in the church. We forget the fact that it's not always going to be easy. That's why they call it labor of love. But Paul makes it clear. He says, He died for us that those who live, that's us, should no longer live for Him or herself, but we now live for Jesus. Amen? Amen? We live for Him. Finally, the third part of the true Christian service, back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, is the patience of hope. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to do what He wants me to do, even though sometimes things don't always work out for me. Amen? How many of you have ever taught Bible study before? I want to know. Anybody besides my wife and I? Nobody? You have? You have? She has? Raise your hands. How many have ever taught Bible study? You never taught Bible study? You raise your hand. Thank you. Could you raise your hand? Thank you. She is. She's already recruited. She'll be teaching Wednesday night. Amen. No, what I'm saying, there are times when we can teach the Bible to people. And you teach and you teach and you teach and the people don't get it. Sometimes they live opposite of what you teach and where God's Word. That can be pretty frustrating. Amen? As a pastor, it's frustrating for me when I get up and I preach my heart out sometimes and I see people do the opposite of what God's Word says. Now, what do I need? Patience. That's what it's called. It's the patience of hope. What am I hoping for? That sooner or later, it's going to sink in. But in the meantime, it's not my job to make people do what God wants them to do. My job is to simply work. Amen? It's to just keep going and keep serving the Lord because I'm not doing it for me. See, I want to see this church grow by leaps and bounds. I want to see it filled up. I want to see us one day having a real nice building over there. Got all this land out here. It's all paid for. We got all this wonderful, wonderful potential here. It'd be nice, but you know what? I don't know. Maybe that's not God's plan right now. Right now, maybe it's just this. But what I want maybe isn't what God wants, but what does God want? God wants me to be faithful. Amen? God wants you to be faithful and not allow what you want to get in the way of what God wants. And simply this, Lord, I will be found faithful. That's my patience of hope. Amen? Patience of hope means I'm going to keep going, keep going, keep going, no matter what. Amen? Don't get down. Don't get discouraged. Anybody ever get discouraged before? Come on. See, I'm talking to all of you, and some of you are just sitting there. Have you ever been discouraged before? Have you ever been discouraged for doing the work of the Lord? Yeah, sure. But see, it's not about me. It's about my true Christian service to Him. The Word of God says very clearly, let this attitude be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Humble yourself. Look at others being better than you. Serve them. And don't worry about what others do or don't do. You just stay faithful to God. Amen. This morning, I want to close by saying this. Every one of you here is called of God. You are called of God to do something. Now, it's up to you to determine what that is between you and God. But let me ask you, whatever that is, I want you to make a commitment to the Lord that you will be that kind of Christian that will have that work, that true Christian service, that you are working for the Lord, that work of faith. Say, Lord, I'm not just going to believe what your word says. I'm not just going to, just read it and study it. I want to live it, first of all. Number two, Lord, I want to labor for you. I want to serve you in a way that my love for you is extended out to people. Amen? So when you come and find, when you come back for me, Lord, I'm going to be found faithful. And thirdly, Lord, help me to be patient that I don't let these things in this world get me down and think that all my work is futile. Amen. See, Paul made it very clear. He says we are to run the race that's ahead of us, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're not to look around. We have to look at Jesus. He's the example. Amen? Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a few moments, because the Lord is speaking. I'm going to ask this morning that you make a commitment to the Lord. Those of you who are saved, if you go to church here, I'm going to ask that you find a place of ministry in this church. Come see me. I'll put you to work. You say, Pastor, I believe this is what God would have me to do. If it's teaching and you have a Bible knowledge, I'll help you get in that position. If it's ministering some other area, fine. Working with kids, working with teens, we need drivers for the van ministry. We need a lot of things. But I'm not asking you to do it because I need it or the church needs it. I'm asking you to do it because the Lord would have you do it. Amen. Everyone in here can have a ministry. I think of like Sister Lavana back here. She does our bulletins every week. That's her ministry. That's at least something. Amen? We got some people in here that are ushers. Every week they come in here and that's their job, ushering. Others are teaching some Bible and working with kids. And we just need workers. Amen. But you need to do it out of love for Jesus. Out of love for Jesus. Out of love for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Each one is called. Each one has a job. It's a work of faith. It's a labor of love. And it's a patience of hope. Say, Lord, I will do whatever you ask me to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as we get ready to take communion this morning, I want you to think about what Jesus did for you. We sometimes forget the sacrifice he gave. He did it because he loved us, folks. And I can tell you this morning, no true Christian service will come from any of us if we don't love the Lord and love people. Otherwise, we're going to do it for selfish reasons, and it never works out that way. Amen? Hallelujah. I want every head bowed and every eye closed just for a few moments. Please, let the Lord speak to your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As I ask the ushers to come, everybody else, please, just stay in an attitude of prayer. As we get ready to take the Lord's Supper this morning, I want every heart to be right with the Lord. It's important that you understand that you don't take this sacrament lightly, because what you're about to do is acknowledge that Jesus is Savior and Lord, and that you're going to faithfully commit yourself to Him till He returns. That's what it means. Hallelujah. 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 The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul the Apostle writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' Then Paul said these words, 'For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Brother and sister, are you proclaiming the Lord's death? Someone asked me once, what does that mean? It means this simply: are you serving him in a way that you're proclaiming that you truly are a Christian by your lifestyle? That's what it means. It's not just by words, it's by our deeds as well. Are you a faithful servant doing the work that God has called you? Are you laboring daily for the Lord till he comes? Now, only you can answer that question. Only you, between you and God this morning. And you can walk out of here the same way you walked in, saying, "You know, I'm just happy to go to church." That's up to you and God, but not me. Because I'm going to tell you something. I have read this book many times, and the Word of God says one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give an answer to ourselves of what we did in this life. You and I will give an answer to the Lord, and we will be judged by our service, not by our works, because we're not saved by works. We're not going to be judged by our sins, but we're going to be judged by our service. If we did it because we love the Lord, or did we do it because we love ourselves? How many this morning say, "Lord, I want to live for you, and I want my life to glorify you"? This morning, I'm going to ask that you would just respond to whatever he's asking you to do. As I said, we have a lot of needs in this church. Please see me. Be used of God in the way that you can for his glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Come, let's take the Lord's Supper together.
just as you are. Come and see.
Please just hold on to your emblems to everybody's serve, we'll take together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As you hold these emblems in your hands, folks, I've done this literally hundreds of times. I have to remind myself this is not just a piece of bread and a cup of juice. This is the representation of the suffering and the death and the service of our Lord for you and I. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He ripped the bread. In a way of saying, my body will be ripped in just a few hours. He said, this bread, he said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you, broken for you. In remembrance of me. Folks, when Jesus went to that garden of Gethsemane, he knew full well what was going to happen. Now, he could have called for 10,000 angels to come, and he would have been out of here, and we'd all be lost. But he didn't. He faced his false accusers, falsely tried, falsely arrested, falsely convicted. Everything that we have done, he was accused of. He was made sin for you and I. And he was beaten, his flesh was torn, the crown of thorns dug into his skull. They pounded his face to a pulp where he was not even recognizable. And then they put these huge spikes through his wrist and his feet on a cross. His flesh was torn for you and I. That's the ultimate sacrifice of true Christian love right there, folks. His love for you and me. He died for you. When you think about that and you hold this piece of bread, how can we be so lax in our Christian service for him after all he's done? I want to do more. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Let's do that together. After supper, he took the cup and said, this new covenant is in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This cup represents the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Every drop of blood he's shed, none of us are worthy of it. I got news for you, folks. We're not worthy. But he gave, he shed his blood. And on that cross, when he hung there, we don't see it as it was, but I want you to know that cross was nothing but a big pool of blood. And that blood flowed down around that cross and saturated the ground. The ground was full of his blood. Every drop he shed for you and me so that we can have eternal life. He did it because he loves us. Once again, how can I take for granted for what he's done for me? Thank you, Lord, for giving us your blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We have been set free. You've given us your whole life, Lord, that we now have eternal life in you. In Jesus' name, let's take together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to ask as you stand to your feet that you would make this vow to God, and we're going to sing this song, the chorus, "Then Sings My Soul, How Great Thou Art," that you would go from this place this morning with a heart's desire to serve Jesus from here on out. And say, you know what, tomorrow might be Labor Day, but I'm going to labor for the Lord every day. Amen? Say this one with me. Tomorrow may be Labor Day, but I'm going to labor for the Lord every day. I'm going to give Him my best. Because He loved me, I love Him, and I want to serve Him. Amen. Now, that's up to you between if you're going to or not. But I choose to serve the Lord. You know, that's what Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will" what? "Believe in the Lord." Read about the Lord. He says, "We will serve the Lord." Hallelujah. 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 "Then sings my soul." Amen. Hallelujah. Turn it up, brother. "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art." There we go. "How great Thou art." "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. Thou art." Sing it one more time. "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art.